America is not mentioned in Bible prophecy. How could America, the greatest world superpower right now, how could we be absent when we've got so much information about the seven-year tribulation? Put what we just discussed together, because I think, oh, America will be here, but not America what we think. The reason why America is not mentioned, in my opinion, in Bible prophecy is because...
Pastor Billy Crone, it's great to have you back here on Charisma. Last time we talked about secret societies and conspiracies, and today we're going even deeper because yep. we're talking about the World Economic Forum and some of the planned things that have played out over the last several years. And we're going to have to be very careful about how we communicate some of those things. So you want to make sure that you're paying attention to what we're saying and what we're really saying as well. So Pastor Billy, welcome back to Charisma.
John, it's always great to be on. I tell you what, just don't forget to send me an email with your jacket size, because I'd like to get you one of these bad boys. So
I'll definitely take that, man. We'll take care of that offline here. But so tell me about how this study in your church led to this conversation.
Yeah. Hey, a great segue, because really it started because I wanted answers. You know, as I think all of us did, we got the bomb dropped on us. You know, 2020 is like, what is going on here? And then all of a sudden, the whole world's reacting the same way and the same methodologies. I'm going, this can't be by chance. And I think a lot of people felt that after the shock and awe began to wear off. And so I began to do the research, and the research led me to a gentleman named Klaus Schwab, his organization that's been around since 1971 that he founded, called the World Economic Forum. And then there was a phrase that post that event that happened around the world in 2020 became the excuse to bring in what's called the Great Reset. Yeah. And then I began to look at the Great Reset. What's this Great Reset? It's everywhere, Great Reset. And then they threw a date out there, 2030. That's when they want it all in place by 2030, Great Reset. So I'm going, what in the world is all this about? So basically, in a nutshell, I began to do the research. And that led to our first shot across the bow, simply this study, Klaus Schwab, the Third Reich, et cetera, that I can't say. And I began to say, where did this guy get these ideas from? And they're literally trying to take over the world. And they're using that last crisis as the excuse to put it all into place, hopefully by 2030 is their goal. And what I did was, I called it the Third Reich, because basically I traced his history. His history goes back to Nazi Germany. His dad, Eugene Schwab, was buddies with the Nazis, and he ran a factory. This is Klaus's dad. He grew up in this environment with the Nazis, and their factory won awards for the Nazis. It helped the Nazis in their war effort, et cetera, et cetera. And so basically what I discovered was Klaus Schwab is basically taking the Third Reich agenda that Hitler wanted to bring to the world, but only made it as far as Germany because he lost the war. And now Klaus has picked up the baton and he's bringing it to the whole planet. Now, of course, he doesn't call it the Third Reich because that's a little too obvious. He calls it the Great Reset. What's the other phrase? The Fourth Industrial Revolution. It really should be called the Rise of the Fourth Reich. So that was the first one. Then I'm going like, okay, well, that's him. That's his background. That's what they're trying to do, because they're trying to take over the world, including America. And I'm telling like, well, what's this World Economic Forum thing? What's that got to put into play? So that led to our second giant study, Klaus Schwab, the World Economic Forum and the Coming Mark of the Beast. And this is where it becomes, whoa, wait a second. Now we just stumbled into a Bible prophecy related issue, because in a nutshell, this Great Reset, Fourth Industrial Revolution, call it whatever you will, it's the call for a one world government, a one world economy, specifically cashless, specifically tying everybody biometrically into this new digital economy that will be universal across the planet. That's part of the Great Reset. And I'm going, well, what's that? Well, that's part of the Antichrist kingdom, mm-hmm. right? They're going to be a one world government, a one world economy, specifically cashless, to control what you buy and sell, Revelation 13. So we expose that. And so these guys, in a nutshell, are basically building the foundation for what the Bible calls the Antichrist kingdom. That's how close we are, John. And as the church, I believe we leave prior to that. And so it just is a clue from God that, hey, man, our departure's near, so we need to finish strong. But then after that, I came across, wait a second, there's two sides. If you read these guys' words, and they don't hide from it. You can go to their channel. The World Economic Forum has their own channel, and they tell you exactly what they have plans for the world. And the Great Reset has two sides to it. One, there's an economic reset, and they want to change the economy of the world to a digital cashless economy. That's what the Bible calls the mark of the beast. The other disturbing element is it's not just a economic reset, flip the coin over, it's a human reset. Now, this one was a bombshell. That's why we came out with this one, Klaus Schwab eugenics, which came from Hitler, and the rise of the Nephilim. And this is also another Bible prophecy sign. Jesus said, how do you know it's getting close to his return? Matthew 24:37, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Well, what was going on in the days of Noah? Three things. Jesus mentions one in Matthew 24, a lackadaisical attitude towards the coming judgment of God. Eating, drinking, marrying. I don't want to hear this stuff. Well, that's today. Number two, you got to go to Genesis 6. And Genesis 6 said that society at that point had got so wicked that it grieved the heart of God. They were continually thinking wicked all the time. And God said, that's it, I've had it. And so you're going like, do we live in a society that's continually wicked all the time? And 1 week, it just seems like, man, just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, it's already, yes, that's how, it's the third one that people kind of skip over because it's kind of a, well, that's kind of freaky, what's that? And it talks about, there was this interchange between fallen angels, demons, cohabitating, mingling with the daughters of men, and it produced a hybrid. And the Bible called that hybrid Nephilim. It's Nephil in the Greek, in the Hebrew, and it means like a giant and things of that nature. So in a nutshell, to simplify the text, part of the reason why the planet was judged was because the society got so wicked, they were hybridizing mankind out into non-humans. And you're going like, well, why would the enemy do that? Well, you got to go back to the Genesis account, Genesis 3:15. What was the promise that God made after the fall of mankind that Satan caused? One day, from the seed of the woman, he will crush the head of the serpent. So Satan knew right there the Genesis 3:15 promise that one day somebody from the lineage of humans was going to rise up and destroy him. Of course, we know that to be Jesus. So what does Satan do? He tries to pollute mankind and hybridize mankind out into non-humans. And you know what? He almost made it except for 8 people. Noah and his family. And God had to hit a restart button and start all over. Now, here's my point. That's what was going on in the days of Noah. Jesus said it's going to repeat when he gets ready to come back. So we have that lackadaisical attitude. We have the continual thinking wicked, but wait a second, where am I going with all this? Are they really trying to make humans into non-humans? John, I'm telling you, dude, this is not a conspiracy theory. This is what the other half of the Great Reset is. These guys believe as the global elites, and this is on tape, they believe they're the new gods of the planet. And as the new gods of the planet, it is their duty to speed up the process of evolution, which is a lie, but to speed it up with science and technology to not only modify plants and animals, but all of life, including humans. They even have a label for it. It's called, and I invite your viewers to check it out. It's in print. It's called Human 2.0. An upgrade. Because you can't say Nephilim, that's a little too obvious. So Human 2.0, augmented humanity, or they flat out say a post-human species. It's a repeat of the days of Noah. Then our big finale that we just released last week is this one. What about America, though? What's their plans for America? Well, here we go. This is why this election is so important. Klaus Schwab, Joe Biden, which includes Harris, and the planned destruction of America. And what we demonstrate in this latest study is there's a plan for America and it's not good. In fact, I invite your viewers to go to the World Economic Forum's website. They'll allow that on YouTube. Go to their website on YouTube and you're going to see their 8 goals for the Great Reset. I think it's the second goal. It clearly says this, and I quote, America will no longer be a world superpower. Stop right there. John, you have a global organization called the World Economic Forum, and they just admitted on tape for the whole world to see that we're going to destroy America. How is that not a national security issue? How is this place not being investigated? You just threatened the United States of America, right? We'll talk about Russia and China and North Korea, but What about this entity that literally says, when we're done with this great reset, America will no longer be a world superpower? And you're like, well, how are they getting away with this? How come somebody's not calling them out? Because since 1971, Klaus Schwab, over 50 years, has been training people. It's called the Young Global Leaders. Okay. He's been training people and putting them in every developed country around the world, including in Canada, Europe, every major, including America. And this is where we expose Biden and Harris. They are hirelings of Klaus Schwab.
I'm very honored and pleased to introduce the Honorable Joe Biden, the Vice President of the United States. I'm so pleased to see you back here in Davos, because I remember before you assumed your position as Vice President of the United States, you came here as a senator, you came here as the chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee of the Senate. And I have to say, in my memory, you were one of the most engaged and hardest working participants here at the annual meeting.
They're not just making dumb decisions, John. They're making deliberate decisions from day one to purposely destroy America. And you're like, well, why would they do that? You got to go back to the game plan. The game plan is the Great Reset. The first half is the economic reset. They want to reset the whole global economy into a cashless digital economy that can be biometrically tied into every person on the planet, controlling everything. Well, wait a second. Who's the backbone of the existing global economy?
The United States.
Bingo. So therefore, if they're going to meet their goal by 2030, what has to go? America has to go, because we're the backbone of the existing global economy. And that's why from day one, when Biden stepped in, what was the first thing he did the first day in office?
He shut down the XL pipeline.
Bingo. And what did that start to do to our economy?
Started to cause inflation.
Exactly. And see, this is what I call it. This is the smokescreen. The smokescreen is, boy, Biden can't walk and she can't talk. And these guys are just a bunch of bumbling goobers, and they don't know what they're doing, making a bunch of dumb or unfortunate decisions. Mm-mm. It's not just dumb decisions. It's deliberate decisions. They're doing everything they can as fast as they can to meet Klaus Schwab's goal to launch the Great Reset. They're put in by him, we demonstrate, by him to bring America down. And not only bring down our economy down, but when they're done, which would include if Harris, who's in charge of the border, they don't want to fix the border. Because when they're done, John, their plan is America, as we know it, will no longer be in existence.
Wow. You know, they say that even a broken clock is right twice a day. And so you would think that, you know, by happenstance, there would be some good that could come out of the current administration. But it seems that they keep changing the time to try to make it continually wrong. And so I agree with you that there does seem to be a planned effort to cause these things to happen, because by accident, some things good should have come out of this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And again, what we do is we literally to get people equipped as fast as we can. And by the way, with our DVDs, just a heads up, I don't know if I said this last time, we don't copyright our media, John. So if you get the DVDs, make a billion copies, we don't care. Get it out there. This is crunch time. This is serious. But we expose exactly the game plan of step by step of how Biden, including Harris, are systematically, purposely, it's a planned destruction of our country. Let me pull Harris into this scenario. Harris, of course, was the what? Border czar. And we know that's going
to
go
away. Deny that for sure.
I'm trying to deny it, right?
Okay. Do you have any plans to visit the border?
I'm here in Guatemala today. We are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe.
But here's the point. You're like, and we're all scratching our heads, right? We're going like, how come they refuse to do anything about the border? Well, we expose it. There's a plan for that. And believe it or not, John, it has everything to do with Bible prophecy. Again, the Bible tells us exactly what's going on. And let me explain to that. There's a couple reasons why they don't want to fix the border crisis, right? Number one, because you're talking hundreds of thousands of illegals coming across the border who then what? Are given what? Healthcare, a debit card, cash, place to live, great place to live. We got veterans on the street and these guys, right? And so my point is, you can't sustain that. I think I just heard yesterday, New York, just the state of New York, has spent billion dollars to keep up with this never-ending cycle. And so what's going to happen is it's going to add to the pressure of our economy that's already about to pop, which is what they want. So they want to keep that coming. They don't want to fix it because it's going to add pressure to the economy, to blow up the American economy, to crash it, and that's what they want. Number two, the second reason why they want this to continue to happen is because statistically, those people who come across the border illegally statistically vote Democrat. 30, and this is the stat, 31% of illegals who come across and who are given the right to vote to America, 31% vote Democrat, 4% Republican. So what they're doing, John, is they're flipping states. Now, if your viewers are familiar with how it works here in America with what's called the Electoral College, right, then what you see is really when you look at red, conservative, Republican versus blue, Democrat, which is now turned into leftist, liberal, that really most of America is red. It's been that way for a long time.
Except for a few cities. Yeah.
Bingo. Few cities. You got California. You got New York. But since they're big states, they have a large, what's called electoral count.
Right.
And right. So you got to make it to that magical number to win the presidency. So, and then you got like maybe a Rust Belt state up here, there, but most of America is always red. But the reason why they even stay in the game is because they have huge states that carry so many electoral votes. Go back to the point. Where's this border crisis taking place?
At the border.
At the border. Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, Nevada. Do you know how many electoral votes are in Texas? And you're thinking, wait a second, is this really what they're up to? Yes. And you're thinking Texas will no longer flip? Hey, go to Austin. Go to Austin, been there. Austin has unfortunately become a little liberal foothold in the state of Texas, right? But you think that Texas would never flip, right? Well, John, the goal is, and we have this on tape, we bring this out in the study. The goal is they want to flood as many as 100 million illegals into our country. And we've seen the pattern, they want to give them the right to vote. So by sheer numbers, they could do something like flip Texas. They could go back and flip Florida, right? Where a lot of these are being shipped to. And by sheer massive numbers. Now, here's my point. You go back to the Electoral College map, and if Texas and or Florida, especially Texas and Florida, if they were to flip them blue, John, we will never see a conservative president ever again. So that's the second thing. The third thing is, there's 143, I got this on tape, 143 different countries coming across that border. Some of them, and even the secular news will admit this, some of them are young military-age Chinese nationalists. And so it's like, wait a second. I just got back from Japan and Taiwan, right? Taiwan, of course, broke away from China, the populace, when Mao Zedong came in. And so China, you don't just walk out of that country and do whatever you want to do. So, whoa, how'd these guys get at the border, right? But the point is, they're saying that it could be used to create a crisis, right? Including, man, America erupts in this crazy atmosphere and all kinds of crime and stuff goes on in cities around the United States all at the same time. Why? We better declare what?
A national emergency.
Martial law. Exactly. Yeah. So then if you do that, then let's say you were not winning the election. You could just, you know, so I'm not saying thus saith the Lord. I'm just saying there's different rationales for why they do it. But the fourth one, the big one, this is one I want to get to because hardly anybody's talking about this, John. And we expose the whole thing in our study. The fourth thing that they're doing is they are working at Biden and Harris combining America with Canada and Mexico into what's being called the North American Union. No joke. And this goes right back to Klaus with a group that he started the same time he started the Club of Rome, or it's called the Club of Rome, the same time he started the World Economic Forum. And they're the ones who first produced a map of the world. And the map of the world, when they take it over with this Great Reset, is split up into 10 pieces, 10 chunks around the world, right? And that's how they're going to manage this new Great Reset when they take over the world. And this is no conspiracy theory. It's in print. We got Klaus admitting on tape. He's been working with Club of Rome for all this time. I also have screenshots from the World Economic Forum, from the European Union. And they just happen to have a map of the world, and it's shaded in 10 different regions. I also have a screenshot from the UN website. Couldn't believe I came across this one. And I screenshotted it before it disappeared. And it talks about an event that took place in 2008. It was written in 2009, but referring to an event in 2008. And it literally says there that they have now developed 10 world regions for global governance with 10 world rulers. And you're like, wait a second.
That sounds straight out of the Book of Revelation, if I've ever heard it.
Dude, it is. And this is what I'm like, how people aren't talking about this? This is crazy. Because now you go back to Revelation 17. Revelation 17 says what? The Antichrist kingdom isn't just coming. And it's not just a one world government and a one world economy. For manageable purposes, it's specifically going to be split up into 10 kingdoms ruled by 10 rulers. I just quoted the screenshot from the UN, who, by the way, works for Schwab. And it says there they have one purpose. They will hand their power over to the Antichrist. And so we're going like, well, if we're getting close to the 7-year tribulation, then we should see the planet being split up into 10 economic kingdoms ruled by 10 rulers. And that sets the stage for them to hand it over to the Antichrist. John, I'm telling you, this is what's been going on for a long time. It started with the European Union, which back in the day was big news, but people don't talk about that. It's old hat. But there's been calls and workings all across the planet. African Union, South American Union, Asian Union, on and on it goes, including the North American Union. And this is and this has been actually going on for quite some time, and we're just being fair with the information. Back with the Bush Jr. days, it continued with Obama, and this was meetings with Canada, Mexico, and the United States to combine all three countries into this union. They even pitched our own currency, like the European Union has the euro. Ours would be the Amero. It's all on tape.
There is a move toward a North American Union.
The Security and Prosperity Partnership, what some call the North American Union.
It's essentially the centralization of power into fewer hands.
What would be the benefits for creating the equivalent of the euro? And I had the idea, the inspiration to call it the Amero.
I think one thing people who are dollar-based need to focus on is the Amero. That's the one thing that nobody's talking about, but I think it's going to have a big impact on everybody's life in Canada, the U.S., and Mexico. Propose new currency for the North American community, which is being developed right now between Canada, the U.S., and Mexico to make a borderless community, much like the EU.
Our economies now are very integrated. Our societies are growing increasingly integrated. What's needed now is a North American idea for all three.
The greatest initiatives have usually originated from some crisis of some sort.
And my hope is that eventually, if there is a major catastrophe, there will be enough people around who will say, well, this may be the time to try out this new idea.
And they used to call it SPP, Security Prosperity Partnership. So this is all in print. And then guess what? Trump's administration, it took a 4-year hiatus, not one meeting. Biden gets back in. Guess what? He immediately goes back to discussion to bring all three countries together into one of these 10 chunks for Klaus and the gang. And it's in print. You even have it right now that the president of Mexico is saying, yep, we're all talking about this North American Union, quote, we are in agreement about that. Now, they don't call it SPP. They call it the North American Summit, or sometimes, I'm just giving some homework for your viewers, They're called the Three Amigos Summit. Ha, ha, ha. Right. And so basically they want to combine all three countries into one. And you're like, why in the world would they do that? Well, because again, they're following a script. The script immediately goes back to the 70s with Klaus and the gang. To when they take over the world, it's going to be 10 manageable chunks. The reason why you and I as a Christian should know this is because it's exactly what the Bible said would happen in the last days, right before the rise of the Antichrist kingdom. And this is why Harris was put in charge of the border, because John, they don't want to fix the border. This is why they want a, quote, borderless community. They don't care about the people. They want to destroy our country. And then I'll say this. I'm one of those guys in prophecy that believe that America is not mentioned in Bible prophecy. Some people want to say, well, America represents the Babylon, or America is, you know, I don't necessarily buy into that. I think, but to me, I'm going, wow, how could this happen though? How could America, the strongest nation on the planet right now, the greatest world superpower right now, how could we be absent when we've got so much information about the 7-year tribulation? Because John put what we just discussed together. Because I think, oh, America will be here, but not America what we think. The reason why America is not mentioned, in my opinion, in Bible prophecy is because we will go out of existence. We will be combined with Mexico and Canada, if these people get their way, into a North American union. That's why there's complete silence on America.
I've always pondered why that is, because I've thought maybe it's because the United States has so much going on within themselves and we're already self-focused that, you know, what's happening over in the Middle East and the rest of the world, just we've turned our back to that and we're now totally focused. Mm-hmm. I still think that that could be a potential thing. But what you've just laid out is makes a lot of sense, and it's very scary. You know, it's scary in a sense that, like, the end is near, you know, type of a thing. Right. And for those that don't know Jesus, it is scary for them. We have our hope and faith in Jesus Christ, so that changes right. everything for us. And I pray that anybody that's watching this, that you're feeling a little bit of fear, that you get to know Jesus, because that's the only way to get out of this situation in one piece, I guess. But in peace, P-E-A-C-E. And you know, I've been watching James Bond movies and supervillain movies for my entire life. And it really just seems that Klaus Schwab and the WEF are falling perfectly in line with the James Bond supervillain. Mm-hmm. And it's like they're reading the Bible and saying, oh, let's make this happen today. Or let's do this. Right. Like this seems like a good plan, where we as Christians are looking at it and saying, okay, these are the signs of the end, but we still have work to do. We still need to go right. tell people about Jesus. We still need to, you know, because Jesus told us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. And we haven't finished that commission yet, but we're right. getting close. And also this is coming too. So your thoughts.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I'm what's called the eternal optimist. And I think as Christians, we should be, because Psalm chapter 2, read it and go to sleep. He who sits enthroned in heaven, God, laughs. He laughs at these guys. And what's the context? They're trying to throw off his reign, specifically the reign of his coming of his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. They think they're going to stop it. God's laughing. Are you kidding me? Nobody is going to stop my son coming back and installing his kingdom. And last time I checked, John, we belong to him, Jesus, the King of Kings. And if he's laughing at these guys trying to take over the world, we're not laughing at what they're doing. It's evil. But as Christians, come on, lighten up. We're the winners, man. Nobody has a brighter future than we, the church. And what do you do in the meantime? It's never a time to be fearful. If a person is taking this information, even as a professing Christian, and you're getting fearful, you got it all backwards, right? This should excite you, because it's a loving way, creative way from God saying through his word, guess what? I'm not going to tell you the exact day or the hour of the rapture, because I know your heart. You goof off to the very end. But I love you, and I don't want you completely caught off guard. So I'm going to give you signs that it's got to be getting close. And that's all this is. So really, as wild as this is, we just got encouraged, John, with this evidence to know that the rapture is very near. Last time I checked, that's best case scenario. That's why the Bible says we should long for his appearing, not run from it. And we're the bride of Christ. I've had the privilege of doing many, many weddings. I'll tell you what, I always do premarital counseling. And I tell you what, if I ever saw a couple that was coming in for premarital counseling and the closer we got to their wedding date, the more they begin to freak out and say, stop telling me about that. I don't want to hear that anymore. That's not a good sign. And so as Christians, when you hear news about the return of Jesus Christ, you should get excited. The wedding day approaches. It's a great thing. It's best case scenario. So if you're fearful, fear does not come from God. God does not give us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And we're to long for his appearing. Why? Because when Jesus Christ comes back, folks, what do we get? We don't just get rescued off this planet and saved from his wrath, the 7-year tribulation. We go to heaven, a place beyond our wildest dreams. We come back with Jesus at the end of the 7-year tribulation, Revelation 19. We get to be a part of the millennial kingdom. We get to rule and reign with Christ. There's going to be peace on the planet for 1,000 years. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. The earth will be renovated to Garden of Eden-like conditions. We'll have peace with nature, Isaiah 11. You could have a pet rhino, a pet lion. It's no joke. It's not hyperbole. It's going to be incredible. And then after that, we have what's called the new heavens, the new earth. So shall it always be. No more death, no more dying, no more crying or mourning, because the old world and all its evils are gone forevermore. John, that's all this is. Mm-hmm. It's God's way of saying, church, look up. You know, keep your mind on things above and on this earth. I'm coming back to get you. And I'm not just coming back to get you to rescue. I'm coming back to give you the inheritance. I'm coming back to give you this incredible. Nobody has a brighter future than the bride of Jesus Christ. And it starts at the rapture. So man, I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to getting off this garbage can down here, right? God, listen to John. I say this all the time. We look at the mountains. We look at the sunsets. We look at, I'm here next to Grand Canyon in Vegas. And you're like, wow, this is amazing. Look at the handiwork of God. We find beauty in the earth at this stage. Now, Listen, what are we looking at? We are looking at the leftover remnants of a thrashed planet after the first time God judges planet with the flood. You ever think about that? That's what the Bible says. So it makes you, number one, wonder, what was the Garden of Eden like? What was the pre-flood world like? Because this is the messed up version after the flood. And so here's my point. We're looking at the bottom of a garbage can. And if we can find beauty in the bottom of a garbage can, watch this. Jesus, the Bible says, he's going back to the Father's house, the resurrection. One day he's coming back to get us, the rapture, John 14. But he says he's going there to prepare a place for us. Now listen, this earth and planet took 6 days for God to create the whole universe. Jesus has been working on our place for 2,000 years. Can you imagine how awesome it's going to be, John? In fact, the Bible says it's decked out like a bridal dress. What's a bride's dress? Oh, it's just something you found off the rack, or you just stitched together with some nylon and some plastic bags. Are you kidding me? It's decked out. That's what our future is like. That's what Christ is. That's what we should long for. But with that said, not only should we not be fearful, fear does not come from God. We should be excited, but you're right. You should finish strong. You should get the gospel out. And that's how we end. We don't just drop the bomb on you. Hey, here's what's going on. It's like, what do we do about it? And we end on the action note. Three things. We got to get back to what Christ has called us to be. Yes, we're the bride. Yes, we're the children of God. But he also gives us specific labels of action. And we need to get back to it. Number one, we're the salt, which is what the preservatives. We are to be out there doing what we can to preserve lives. Number two, we're to be the light, right? We are to share the light of the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because John, the problem today isn't with this ever encroaching darkness. You want the darkness to go away? What do? Go into a dark room. What do you got to do? Oh no, it's never going to change. I can't. No, you go to the wall and you flip on the light. Oh, and by the way, as soon as you flip on the light, how fast does that darkness go? Just like that. You want to stop the darkness? You want to make a difference in this dark and dying world? You shine the light of Jesus Christ. The problem today isn't with the ever encroaching darkness. The problem is the church is refusing to shine the light of Christ. Yeah. And then third, specifically, 2 Thessalonians 2, as we await the rapture, God tells us exactly what we should be doing, specifically in the context there, as we see the foundation being laid for the Antichrist kingdom. And it says right there, we are the restraining influence, right? Restraining influence. It's the Greek word kateko. It means to hold back the course thereof. Can I give you that in a nutshell, in the vernacular? We are to be the fly in Klaus Schwab's ointment. We are to be the biggest whistleblowers on the planet. We are to tell people as fast as we can what these guys are up to, because it's evil. It's a moral issue. But we tell them the good news, like he said. Praise God. God's also merciful. And he's provided a way through his son, Jesus Christ, to get off this planet just in time. We are on a giant rescue mission. And to me, it would be cruel if people, when the Titanic was going down and they got in their lifeboat and they still had room, for them to sit there and do nothing while people are perishing. That's where we're at, John, with this stage. The boat's going down, but praise God, we're headed for a future beyond the wildest dreams. Praise God, we're in a lifeboat called Jesus. But a normal, logical response is to have a compassionate heart and say, you know what? How many people can I get into this lifeboat with me? Amen. And so as Christians, we just got to get back to that.
Yeah. You know, I want to talk more about these things that you're uncovering, but I just can't leave this alone, because we've been talking about the bride of Christ. We've been talking about his second coming, his return. I was just reminded in my spirit about the parable of the 10 virgins. And I think this is a lot of why people are afraid of the end. It's because you had five virgins that were prepared. They had their wicks cut, they had their oil in their lamps, and they were ready for the journey whenever the bridegroom was to come. Then there was five that weren't ready, that when the groom came, they didn't have their wicks trimmed, they didn't have enough oil, and they didn't get to make the journey. Remember, they finally got to where the house was, they were not let in because they weren't known. Right. And before we go any further, Pastor Billy, I know there's people that are just terrified because they don't, they're afraid of hearing that I don't know you. Can you just take a few minutes and just lead people into knowing Jesus so that they would not be that five virgins that are not accepted?
Yeah, what it all boils down to is this. John, again, I shared a bit of my testimony before, but I'm a 1980s ex-headbanger, drug addict, sexually immoral, male chauvinist pig guy involved in Satanism, the occult, and New Age. I was demon-possessed. I hated Christians. I thought they were brainwashed, duped idiots that had to have, so dumb they had to have a book tell them what to do. I was much more intellectually superior than that. Blah, blah, blah. God had mercy on me, and I was all by myself. And my response, out of complete demonic terror, I understand fear, and if people are fearful, there's a solution. His name is Jesus Christ. But here's what I did that day. 31 years ago, I was 25. I ran to my bedroom in utter terror. I started in utter terror, but I ended, new creation in Christ. And I ran to my bedroom. I was 25. I dropped on my knees. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. It just came from my heart. And that's the key. That's the key. And I said, God, if you're real and you really want this life, you can have it. I don't want to be the captain of the ship anymore. I've driven it into the ground. Help me, please. But as soon as I said that, John, from two people who shared Jesus with me, I knew instinctively, I knew there's something about the name of Jesus Christ. And I need to follow that up. Because see, the word God is generic. Well, is God you? Is it the chair? Is it the tree? You know, so I needed to specifically call upon the name of Jesus Christ. So I followed it up and I said, Jesus Christ, would you please forgive me and save me? And instantly, John, bang. I mean, dude, it was like a lightning bolt, man. It was like I could literally feel the whole weight of the world. I think it was the demons leaving me, sin, all the dark, evil stuff I was involved in. If God can save me, listen, people, he can save anyone. And it just lifted off of me. I'm crying. I'm weeping at the same time because, John, I couldn't believe the one that I blaspheme. I couldn't believe the one that I sinned against. I couldn't believe that the one I was running as fast as I could in the opposite direction. Listen, he still romanced me down and drew me unto himself. And it's really that simple. God is holy. We are not. And we're separated from him. Holiness and unholiness does not mix. But that's why God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to make us holy through his work, his death on the cross. And it's called the gift of eternal life. I don't earn it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a gift. It's called the gift of eternal life. Once it begins, it never ends. And you just receive it by faith. He did all the work. that God, you're real. You're holy. I'm not. I don't deserve to go to heaven. I deserve to go to hell. But because of your love, you sent Jesus Christ to take my punishment for my sins against you in my place. That's what I entrust my eternal destiny with. You mentioned Matthew 7, those that said, you don't want to hear Lord, Lord. The reason why those people heard those words, away from me, I never knew you, you evildoers, is because they didn't receive the gift of eternal life. They didn't trust only in the work of Jesus Christ. They trusted in their own works. How do we know? Because Jesus called them out on that. They said, Lord, Lord, and that's good, Jesus is Lord. But he said, and what did they trust? They didn't say, I trusted in your grace. I trusted in your mercy. I trusted only in Jesus' death on the cross to save me and forgive me. They didn't say that. What came out of their mouth? Works. Mm. Didn't we what? Do. You don't get to heaven by what you do, because none of us can undo what's already been done. We trust in what's been done for us through Jesus Christ.
Amen. So when you really grab a hold of, cling to, hold on to what Jesus did on the cross for you, and you've received him as your Lord and Savior, you don't have to be afraid of the end that's coming that you see laid out on the World Economic Forum's website and the plans of destroying America and all these things. You can hold on to Jesus is our hope. Right. Pastor Billy, what else do we need to do?
Well, again, the hope, let's finish that line, because a lot of people say, okay, I got the hope in Christ. I'm forgiven. I'm not going to hell. Okay, that's great. If that's all there was to salvation, I'm happy. I'm glad. But what else is it? It's he's coming back to get us. For what? We're his bride. He's coming back for a wedding. And not just a wedding, but he's going to give us a bunch of bridal gifts. Heaven, the millennial kingdom, the new heavens, the new earth, no more Satan, no more demons, no more sin, no more crying in the morning. I don't know about you, but that's pretty cool. That's exciting. And so again, that's all that Bible prophecy is. God doesn't give us prophecy to freak us out. He gives us prophecy to let us know, bride, your future, your wedding day, best case scenario, is coming soon. So get excited, look up, and get busy inviting as many wedding guests as you can. That's it. Have a great day.
And we can hold back some of these things for the purpose of inviting more people into the kingdom of God.
Right.
And how else can we hold back these things?
Well, again, get back to being the salt to preserve, right? The light for the darkness, right? And you restrain against this. We're to be the biggest whistleblowers on the planet, what these guys are up to. So basically, as you got one hand restraining, being the salt and the light and the restraining influence, with the other hand, you're grabbing, you're pulling people to Christ, right? Put yourself back on that Titanic, right? On the one hand, you got it on the rail. It's going down, whatever. But on the one hand, you're going, hey, 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 come this way. You're trying to get them to go there. But on the other hand, you're what? Get in the boat. Get in the boat. Get in the boat. That's where we're at, John.
Get in the boat. Pastor Billy, what else do we need to know about this? Because you went in depth with this study. I mean, you put out a few different books and study mm-hmm. courses about this. Help us in just a few minutes that we have left. Help us kind of understand it. What else? We need to be the salt and light. We need to pull people and to be the biggest whistleblowers. What are some things that we need to be looking out for to say, there it is, there's another sign, there's another trick that they're trying to play right now?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because with all of our resource sources, and certainly this last one that deals specifically with our country, we literally itemize the step-by-step plan. And the benefit of that is it's not just the economy. He started off with the oil and energy, Harris as well. But then, of course, knowing that's going to start to blow up the economy and commerce, that's why inflation is going through the roof and all that, but food, transportation, everything. It's a step-by-step plan. But the reason why it's good to get equipped with some of those facts is because, back for the purposes of sharing with those who don't know Jesus, we can resonate with them not only this, because the facts are, and I'm sure you know this, John, this has been going on so long, and it seems like, man, no matter what we do, it's almost like these guys are deliberately trying to destroy our country. Well, they are. And so even the lost are starting to recognize, wait a second, this is a planned effort. Wait a second. These guys are, when we get equipped, we're going like, you're right. In fact, here's how they're doing it, whatever. But the point is, we're able to resonate. God, that's basically a platform. It's basically God serving up a golden plate opportunity that even the lost now are waking up, that something is wrong and it's not getting better. Well, that's where we go. You know what? You're absolutely right. In fact, let's talk about that. But ultimately, you don't stay there. Ultimately, it's to work with them, to develop that relationship, to show that, hey, guess what? Now here's the plan, but did you know the reason why this is happening is because God predicted it would happen 2,000 years ago in the last days. And the good news is these guys ain't going to get away with nothing. All this evil and rotten stuff that they're doing, God's going to have the last word on this evil. But the good news is you don't have to be a part of that. The good news is that if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior now, you can escape it and be a part of a future world and a future government that is beyond your wildest dreams. Listen, that nobody can take away. John, all it is a segue. It's a segue to get equipped ourselves, to be encouraged that the rapture is near, and two, to be able to identify with the world who's now recognizing this as a concerted effort, and then lead them to Christ.
Yeah.
Nothing else matters.
Nothing else matters. And I think I love how God designed the human brain to always be questioning, to always be looking for answers, to be finding common patterns, to be looking for prophecy to be coming to fulfilled. Yep. And if you look at the world today, people are starting to see patterns. People are starting to see conspiracies unraveling. And, you know, we've talked earlier about the Freemasons. We've talked about secret societies, witchcraft infiltrating into the churches, and people just not being aware. But I totally agree that in this day and age, so much is becoming just obvious that people are seeing it more and more. But we need to be that salt and light.
Right.
We need to be the one pointing them in the right direction.
Yeah. And that's how we end. We end on that, like you call it a high note or whatever you want to call it. It's a biblical mandate. This is not an option. This is our identity. Just as much as we're called the bride of Christ, just as much we're called children of God, we're called to be the salt, the light, and the last days restraining influence. We just got to get back to that, John.
Amen. Amen. Be the salt and light in the last days restraining influence. Pastor Billy Crone.
Or the last days resistance. You can make a shirt out of that one.
Last days resistance. I like that. That's really good.
Join the resistance. Yeah.
Pastor Billy Crone, it's great to have you back here on Charisma. And thank you so much for taking this time today to share your wisdom and the action plan that we need to walk out in these coming days.
Yeah, amen, John. Thanks for having me.